God wants all of us to step up. You know, we talk about the batter, step up to the plate. At the carnival, the barker says, step up, step up, step right up. Who'll be the first to try this wonderful new game? We talk about stepping up, you know. Who'll be the first to try this new product? Stepping up, step right up. God wants us to step up. He has promised to help us do more than we can ever imagine. Living a full life in service to Christ will cause us to cast off fear. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of looking bad. It'll cause us to cast off selfishness. I don't have time. I don't have the energy. I don't really want to do something like this. It'll cause us to cast off procrastination. One of these days, I'm going to try this. One of these days, I plan to do this, but not now. If we have a commitment to following Jesus and becoming as much like Him as we possibly can, then it will cause us to cast off fear and selfishness and procrastination, and this will allow us to completely follow Jesus without holding back. When we lose sight of life's meaning, when we forget that, you know, time is the most valuable resource that any of us have, we end up with a lot of regrets. We really do. We end up with a lot of regrets. Oh, if only. Oh, if only. And it's true. You never feel more alive than when you take a risk to do something for the good Lord above. And you end up being stretched and your faith ends up growing because of it. You never feel more spiritually alive than when you take that risk in the name of the Lord. Ephesians 3 verse 20 and 21 is a text that we'll begin with tonight. Now to him who is Ephesians 3 verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ. Glory in the church. This is connected to the church, folks. Glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now we use this passage to talk about how God will bless us more than we can ask or think. But I'd like to take this passage and apply it to the service that we would render, to the work that we could do in the name of Jesus, that He will use us to do more than we can ask or think. He is able to do exceeding abundantly in our lives using the service that we can give, whatever it is, big or small, public or private, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. God is that power. So when I say, I can't do this or I can't do that, maybe I can't, but the power of God working in me can. God can do anything. Anybody want to deny that? Anybody want to try that? God can do anything. I wouldn't deny that if I were you. And so when I say, well, I can't do this, I can't stand up and teach a class. Well, maybe you can't, but the power that works in you can. The power that works in you can. Now, I know some people have a natural ability, or that's what they say. But I would submit to you that natural ability is more than it's cracked up to be. All right? It's developed ability more than anything else. It's developed ability. Do you think a person is born with the ability to swing a golf club like Tiger Woods? Huh? Do you think that? Do you think a person can run the ball like these incredible running backs that we see from the time that they're able to walk? Do you think that can happen? By the way, I found out this morning that the quarterback at Tanner visited Nick Saban's house today. So We may be seeing one of our local boys playing a good, a college ball here pretty soon. That'd be pretty nice. I don't know that we've had anybody really step up since Rashard Lankford, as far as, you know, really doing something with it. So that would be really amazing, wouldn't it? But the thing of it is, we can do so much. We can do so much more than we think we can if we recognize the power of God that works in us. But that's that talent that we think comes natural to some is actually developed. It's developed. You practice to make perfect. You practice to become something greater than what you are now. It's not something that is a gift. And I didn't have that gift, so I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. You can develop it. You can develop it. There are people that have some natural physical ability, and there are people that have some natural intellectual ability, more so than some, certainly. But all of us have a work to do. And all of us have a measure of faith. And all of us have gifts that God has given us. All of us do. You know, we read the story of the talents. The man had five. The other man had two. The other man had one. And they were given out according to their ability. Some have more ability than others. Yes, understand. But did you notice that all three of them got something? Did you notice that? All three of them had ability. All three of them had work that was expected of them. They had work that was expected for them to do. All three of them did. So we need to step up, folks. This verse is a promise from God. Life is not about us. Life is about God in us. Did you hear that? It's not about me. It's about God in me. But we leave the God out and we just think so many times it's about me and I can or I can't do this. And it's not about me. It's about God in me. So as we prepare for this new quarter, and as we prepare for the end of this year and the coming of 2017, which will happen in about, it'll feel like about 4 days, we need to consider this. It's time to step up and take more risks for God. John 12:26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father, him will my Father honor. Have you been unsure whether or not to do something in the service of God? It's time to trust Him enough to step up. Step up. Life is not about where we're going, but who we're going with. You know, I can't determine what's going to happen in our community in the next few days. I have no control over that. I really don't. Will we get rain, or is this going to be a long drought? A long drought. I was reading about Elijah, prayed and it didn't rain for, oh my, such a long time. And then he prayed again and it rained. But, you know, I can't imagine how horrible it would be. The smoke that's all over our valley. And as they were coming down 31, someone was plowing, Johnny. I couldn't believe it. That you couldn't see the road. The dust was just blowing across the road. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, Faye and I were talking about how we feel this kind of a heavy dread inside ourselves, this uncertainty, this kind of anxiousness about what's going to happen. We desperately need rain, no question about it. But when God is ready, He will send us rain, won't He? When God is ready, He will send us rain. And so we don't need to worry about it. But I know this heaviness is there. It's real. It's real. It's not something we should ignore, but we shouldn't give in to that dread. We should trust God even more. Even more. You're going to have to get faster than that. Life is not about where we're going. It's about who we're going with. We're with the Lord. We're going with Jesus. We're walking with Him every day of our lives. And so we shouldn't have such a fear of trying new things. Jesus didn't hold back, and neither should we. Following Jesus means that we become more like Him. There will be reaching out to others to do just like Jesus did. if we're going to be more like Him. So step up and do what Jesus would do. Don't hold back, but take risks and remember who you're going with. Step up and leave the past in the past. In Philippians 3, verse 12 through 14, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus, or Christ Jesus, has also laid hold of me. Do you remember when Jesus laid hold of Paul? You remember that? He was on the road to Damascus. He laid hold of him, put his hand right on him, blinded him, sent him to Damascus, and there he became a Christian, and he became an apostle of the Lord. Jesus laid a hold on him, and he never broke that hold. He was under the hold of Jesus the rest of his life, and so must we be. Jesus Christ has also laid hold on me, so I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, to have attained, to have arrived, to have achieved, to have finished, to have retired. But one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, the good and the bad, the accomplishments and the failures, the trials and the errors, forgetting all those things that are behind, learning from the lessons, yes, but forgetting those things, not reveling in our past accomplishments or not bemoaning past successes and looking at current failures, but rather forgetting all that behind us and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There is no retiring from Christian service. No matter how old we get, there's more for us to do. Sister Lucille Hine, bless her heart, she's about to turn 100. And she's not going to be able to get out and go around. She's not going to be able to cook meals for anybody anymore. She can barely see to read. Okay, barely. She'll be able to read those cards. And Harold, I'm going to amend what you said. There's no way we're going to know if we got 100 cards unless we bring them to the building. So I would suggest that we bring them to the building and put them in a box back here, and we'll keep a tally so we'll see how many more we got to do. We got a few days to get it done, so we need to get it done. Everybody needs to do 2 or 3 cards, okay? Just plan on that, okay? But let's get that done. But, you know, Sister Lucille, what can, you know, she can't, you say, well, she can pray for every one of us. She can spend a lot of time in prayer. There's not a lot else that she can do. I remember a story from Gus Nichols that just broke my heart. He was talking to his son, Flavel. Flavel used to preach down in Jasper at the big congregation down there, at the 6th Avenue congregation. And he preached at East Walker for years and years and years. Great gospel preacher. He was one of the men that inspired me to preach. But he told me about what his daddy said to him one time as his dad was getting on up there in years. See, Brother Nichols always used to get up early, 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 and he'd go out and he'd feed the chickens and milk the cows and tend to the farm animals and all that. But before he ever would go out of the house, he would spend about an hour studying and praying. About an hour. And he'd go out then and tend to the animals and come back in and study and pray for at least 3 more hours before he did any visiting, before he would go to the church building, before he did anything. He got in at least 4 hours every morning of study and prayer before he ever left his house. And he did this every day, with the exception of Sunday, of course, because you got to get up and get onto the building. But he prayed and studied for 4 hours every morning. This is what he did. But as he was getting older, he said, boy, I wake up at night and I can't see to read. I can't see to read. Because he said, I'll go to bed and I'll sleep and then I'll wake up about 3 o'clock, earlier than I'm supposed to. And so I want to read, but I can't read. His eyes were going so bad. He had this huge print Bible. So what he does, What he did the last years of his life is he'd wake up early and he would spend hours every morning in prayer. Praying for the brethren. Praying for God's church throughout the world. Praying for individuals that he knew. Praying for his family. Praying for his nation. Praying that God's word would have free course in this country and in the world. Praying that God's name would be glorified, that His kingdom would continue to spread, praying for God's people to be more like Jesus. He spent hours in prayer every morning when he could no longer study. Of course, Gary, he could about quote the whole New Testament as it was, so he could quote long sections of Scripture, but he couldn't read any longer, so he just spent his time praying. You know, that's what she can do. And if you're not able to get out and about much, that's what you can do. You can pray. And I beg you to pray, because we need it. Those of us that are out doing door knocking, we need your prayers. Allison doesn't want any dogs chasing her when she's out door knocking. And right now, she sure enough don't, because she couldn't get away if she wanted to. But we need prayers. We need people to pray for us, that we can do a good job, that we can represent God's family well. And we need more of you to plan on door knocking. This Saturday is our next door knocking effort. We need more of you to be involved in this. We work about an hour to an hour and a half, and it's so much fun. We have a great time. The weather is still really nice, and I think you'd really enjoy it. And so come and go with us. I think you'd really have a good time. Those of us that go, talk it up with the rest that you know haven't been going. But we need to step up. We need to step up and leave the past behind us and press on. Grab hold of something that needs to be done and do it. What your hand finds to do, do it with your might. God will bless you. Learn the practice of laying things down too. Quit living in the past. Don't get sidetracked. Don't become apathetic about the way things used to be. It's time to serve right now. Step up. Step up and trust the Lord enough to serve. Step up and take a risk and see what God will do. What will God do with us? I truly believe this congregation is on the cusp, right on the edge of incredible growth. I truly believe that. But we'll only be on that edge for so long. And if we don't take action, if we don't get involved, if we don't reach out to people, they're going to quit coming. They're going to quit coming to see us and check us out. People are not going to be interested. And we ourselves are going to lose our fervor. We're going to lose our fire. And we're going to drift back if we don't take action and keep going, keep pushing, keep pressing on. This church can grow and become a great light in this community. And we need to push to do that. Remember, it's not where you're going. It's even not even what you're going to do. It's who you're following. We are following Jesus. We cannot fail. We cannot fail if we will follow our Lord. Step up. No excuses. Take a step of faith and follow Jesus. Moses tried to make some excuses, but God settled the matter. In Exodus 3, verse 10 through 14, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you: when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve the God, your God. You shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am that I am." New King James, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" You'll recall that Jesus, in an encounter with the Jewish leaders, said, "Before Abraham was, I am," equaling himself. And they tried to stone him. They said he's equaled himself with God. They recognized what Jesus was saying. They knew what he was saying. He was yet using the name of God for himself, because indeed, Jesus is God. He was God in the flesh, the Son of God. And it's a hard thing for us to comprehend that, I know. But the fact is, I am has sent us to bring the light of the gospel to a lost and dying world. I am has sent us to hold up each other's hands in our times of heartache and trouble, in our times of sickness and sadness, in our times of joy and grief. I am has sent us to one another. And he has sent us out to the world to save the lost. And he is sending us into these classrooms to teach these children. And he is sending us out to knock on these doors and invite people to church. And he is sending us to prepare meals and to do good and to write cards and to make calls and to pray for each other, to love each other, to help each other, to be there for each other. I am is sending us. How can we say, I can't do it? How can we say, not me, not me? Moses couldn't say that, and neither can we. And we must not. God help us if we say, not me. One final thought. God knows your limits better than you do. He knows what you're able to do. He knows what you can accomplish. But also, God knows what he can accomplish through you. Paul had it in his mind, and I know I'm filling in. I'm using some sanctified imagination. But Paul, I believe, had it in his mind, I could do so much more for the Lord if I could get rid of this thorn in the flesh. I could do so much more if this wasn't there on a as burdening me. Lord, please remove this. And God says, no, please no, please no. My grace is sufficient for you. And Paul says, now I get it. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. God gets more glory when we, in our weakness, serve him and bring glory to him. He gets more glory than if we did it out of our strength. And so you say, I'm not good at this. Good, good. That's even a better example, a better encouragement for you to do it, because it will bring even more glory to God when you do something you're not good at. When you do something that you don't really feel that you're qualified to do, and yet God uses you to do it, he will even receive more glory. And so my encouragement to you is that we don't make any excuses, but that we step up. God knows our limits. Listen to Psalm 103, 10 through 14. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Praise God. Nor punished us according to our iniquities. Thank you, Father. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God knows our limits better than we do. And so let's serve him the best we can, in our strengths and in our weaknesses. Let's try things. Let's do things. Let's reach out and serve God in ways that will bring glory to him. Scott, I'm praying, Lord. Scott, you're not Lord. I'm sorry. Lord Scott, that just sounds terrible. Scott, I'm praying that you have more teachers than you can use this quarter. That's what I'm praying. I was praying that yesterday, and I'm praying that today. And I'm going to pray that till that list fills up. That would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? Shake your head this way, Scott. Yes, it would. Y'all didn't see that, but you heard that. I'm just praying for you that all of you will make an effort, that all of you will do what you can do. I'm praying for you that you will try. Just try. And you can talk to teachers that are teaching, and they can tell you the rewards that it brings, the joy that it brings. And yes, they have those Sundays and Wednesdays when they go, oh man, I wish I wasn't teaching right now. But when they get in those classrooms and they sit with those little darlings and they deal with these children, it's so rewarding. It's so much joy. It's such a blessing. It's a blessing to the children, but it's a blessing to the teacher. Because that teacher knows that I'm doing something to help this child get ready to go to God one day. And that's what we need to keep in mind. Jesus said to them, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." I don't think that's going to be any of us. I think every one of us have made a commitment to serve the Lord. And I don't think any of us are going to look back. I don't think any of us are going to turn back. But let's face it, the work is not finished. And your work is not finished. Everybody take a breath. I'll wait. Everybody had a breath? That means you're not done yet. That means there's work for you to do. There's something more for you to do, or you wouldn't be here. So let's get busy and let's serve the Lord. Now granted, as I said a minute ago, there's some things that you can't do. I don't believe I will ever play for the NBA. Do y'all agree with that? I don't think I'll ever measure up. I'm not tall enough. I'm wide enough, but I'm not tall enough to play in the NBA. I know that there's some things I can't do, but there's some things I can do. I can teach a class and I can invite friends and family and neighbors to church. I can be involved in encouraging brothers and sisters to grow closer to God and to one another. And I can pray for those who are not able to do what I can do. And I can pray for the others to do the things that they can. And you know, everybody here can pray for each other. We can pray for each other. We can do what we can do. The kingdom of God is not filled with retired people. The kingdom of God is filled with servants who are serving. And my challenge to you tonight is continue to serve and do what you can do. Now, it is not my intention in this lesson to begrudge, to bully, to browbeat. It is not my intent in this message to try to manipulate or to guilt or to put any kind of a heavy burden on anyone. It's my challenge to you today simply to expand your grasp, to reach a little further than you think you can reach. Trust God a little bit more than what you do, and try to do things that you have uncertainty about yourself. Try to do more than what you're doing now. And you'll be amazed at how God can use you and the things that He can do with you. If you're not a Christian, the place to start.